The bazaar was emptying quickly, the merchants finishing up their haggling for the day. I trotted in the mud between rows of closely packed cubicles where you could buy a freshly slaughtered pheasant in one stand and a calculator from the adjacent one. I picked my way through the dwindling crowd, the lame beggars dressed in layers of tattered rags, the vendors with rugs on their shoulders, the cloth merchants and butchers closing shop for the day. I found no sign of Hassan. I stopped by a dried fruit stand and described Hassan to an old merchant loading his mule with crates of pine seeds and raisins. He wore a powder blue turban. He paused to look at me for a long time before answering.
I might have seen him.
Which way did he go? I asked. He eyed me up and down. What is a boy like you doing here at this time of the day looking for a Hazara? His glance lingered admiringly on my leather coat and my jeans. Cowboy pants, we used to call them. In Afghanistan, owning anything American, especially if it wasn't secondhand, was a sign of wealth. I need to find him, Aga, I said. What is he to you? I didn't see the point of his question, but I reminded myself that impatience wasn't going to make him tell me any faster. He's our servant's son, I said. The old man raised a paper-gray eyebrow.
He is. Oh, lucky Hazara, having such a concerned master. Maybe his father should get on his knees and sweep the dust at your feet with his eyelashes.
Are you going to tell me or not? He rested an arm on the mule's back and pointed south. I think I saw the boy you described running that way. He had a kite in his hand, a blue one.
He did, I said.
For you, 1,000 times over, he'd promised. Good old Hassan. Good old reliable Hassan. He'd kept his promise and run the last kite for me.
Of course, they've probably caught him by now,
the old merchant said, grunting and loading another box on the mule's back.
Who?
The other boys, he said. The ones chasing him. They were dressed like you. He glanced to the sky and sighed. Now run along. You're making me late for namaz. But I was already scrambling down the lane. For the next few minutes, I scoured the bazaar in vain. Maybe the old merchant's eyes had betrayed him, except he'd seen the blue kite. The thought of getting my hands on that kite. I poked my head behind every lane, every shop. No sign of Hassan. I had begun to worry that darkness would fall before I found Hassan when I heard voices from up ahead. I'd reached a secluded, muddy road. It ran perpendicular to the end of the main thoroughfare bisecting the bazaar. I turned onto the rutted track and followed the voices. My boots squished in mud with every step and my breath puffed out in white clouds before me. The narrow path ran parallel on one side to a snow-filled ravine through which a stream may have tumbled in the spring. To my other side stood rows of snow-burdened cypress trees peppered among flat-topped clay houses, no more than mud shacks in most cases, separated by narrow alleys. I heard the voices again, louder this time, coming from one of the alleys. I crept closer to the mouth of the alley and held my breath, peeked around the corner.